We are going to energize the country.
We need to wake up and smell the coffee.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Another future's possible, but we've got to fight for it.
Order!
Hello and welcome to the Debated Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Will. And in this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Matthew Hulbert, the councillor for Redhall Ward, vice chair of Barwell Parish Council, vice chair of Leicestershire County Council's Equalities Group, and a member of the Liberal Democrats. Welcome to the podcast, Matthew.
Hi, Will. Thanks very much for having me on.
So the first question that I'd like to ask is, what made you decide to get involved with local government?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been interested in politics for a very long time, probably since I was about, 13, 14, and first started watching Prime Minister's Questions. Some 13 and 14 year olds get involved in lots of other stuff. I was watching PMQ, so there we are. And always knew that I was a progressive, on the centre left of politics. It took me a long time to find my political home. I sometimes get the mickey taken out of me because I have in fact been in three political parties. It took me a while to find my political home in the Liberal Democrats. So as an 18-year-old, I was swept along by the whole Blair thing, the whole Blair Project, and was a member of the Labour Party until I left over the invasion of Iraq in 2003. I really should have joined the Lib Dems then, but I didn't. I was a huge fan, as I still am, of Caroline Lucas, and so joined the Greens for a bit. Realised that wasn't for me either. In 2010, ironically, just before the coalition, so they weren't easy first years for me in the Lib Dems, but joined the Lib Dems in 2010, became a candidate for both the borough and the parish council here by the end of 2010, and was elected at the time to both the borough and the parish council in 2011. Served in both of those roles until 2015, when I lost both seats, as did many people up and down the country. The Lib Dems was not at all popular by the middle of 2015. And I won my parish seat back in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned parish council seats, borough council seats, and of course there are lots of different types of councils. Do you think that for the listeners, you could just explain the differences between the different types of councils that exist?
I'll certainly do my best. Borough Council, along with, they can also be called district councils in the places that have them, are principal authority councils. And often that's, and we can get into this, often that's why they have more attention than parish councils, which, whilst statutory bodies, are not considered principal authority councils. Obviously, if people live in cities, they'll have a city council. But whereas parish councils look after things like parks and community transport and public toilets and lots of other things as well. I've got a big long list here in front of me what parish councils do. Borough councils have a lot of other services, so they'll look after lots of leisure services in a borough. They're obviously a planning authority, so they have a say on planning, although again we can debate quite how much local councils get listened to on planning and many other things beside. But I think you raise a good point. Well, I think people do get confused about what level of government does what, and even as someone who's been in elected office for six of the past 10 years, even I can think, when I get a query by one of my residents here, now what level of government does deal with that? And sometimes, you have to ask that question. So, I mean, I think we need to do much more in schools and in general society to educate all of us on the importance of councils, because, we learn a lot about central government, but actually councils are our most local form of government and deliver a lot of the services that actually concern us on a day-to-day basis. And I just don't think any of us really know enough about what each of the different levels of council do.
Mm. Now, first of all, I'd like to talk about parish councils, because I think when you mention parish councils to people, typically they have, perhaps an overly stereotypical view of rural England and people pottering about, and perhaps not a great deal maybe of interest related to them. Of course, that's changed in recent times as people have become more proactive and involved in local politics and interested in local politics. What would you say to someone who had no idea what a typical parish council meeting is like? How would you describe it to them?
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I think a lot of people think, you know, we're all kind of, the way I always describe it, fairly or unfairly, is, you know, I think people think that we're all a lot of Vicar of Dibley style parish council country bumpkins. And, and you know, we're not. We're dedicated volunteers who care about our communities. And unlike every other level of elected office, we don't do it for any kind of remuneration. We don't get any. We are volunteers. And so I think in that sense, there's a purity to parish, town, community and neighbourhood councils that there isn't to any other level of government. But perhaps there's also, and this can be seen in both a positive and a negative light, perhaps there is a perception at least of a kind of amateurism. But as the famous saying goes, you know, it was amateurs who built the Ark, it was professionals that built the Titanic. So again, I don't think that is necessarily always a bad thing. And what we tend to have at parish and town level is, I'm not saying there's no politics, of course there is. Some of us, including myself, are elected on party tickets. I'm elected as a Liberal Democrat, but there's also many, many independents at parish and town council level. But my view is, although I'm very happy to be elected on a party ticket, I think once you're elected, it's then for whoever is elected, the makeup of a council, to then forget about the party politics as much as you can and to deliver for your local village and town. But yet there are 10,000 parish and town councils in England, 100,000 independently elected councillors. And I don't think people realise this, and this is quite a staggering figure, that your parish, town, community and neighbourhood councils across England are responsible for £1 billion of investment in communities across England every year. That is not an insubstantial amount of money. And, you know, we represent our local communities. We are the first tier of government, the most local tier of government to where people live, deliver services to meet people's needs and, of course, strive to improve quality of life and community well-being. And I won't run through the whole list, but just to give you some of the things that parish and town councils look after. We run allotments, bridleways, burial grounds, bus shelters, car parks, common and open spaces, community transport schemes, local events and festivals, footpaths, leisure and sport facilities, litter bins, public toilets, have a say on planning, street cleaning and lighting, village greens and youth projects. So, I mean, you know, this is a proper level of government that is delivering on the most basic and most local of community needs and facilities and services. And yet, again, you know, if you ask people, what does your local parish council do? They may not be able to tell you. And I think that's quite sad.
Now, on the point of planning permission, of course, there's been a great deal of debate in recent years about planning permission, about where buildings should be put, where housing should be put. Do you think that this is something that, because of the influence that parish councils have in deciding where houses should be put and buildings and other things like that, do you think that this is something that there should be more emphasis on in terms of scrutiny of parish councils, given that, you know, housing is a very big issue for a lot of people throughout the UK?
It is. And, you know, I should say that until our recent AGM, I was chair of our Barwell Parish Council's planning committee. And indeed, when I was a borough councillor, was a member of the planning committee at borough level. Of course, in terms of parish councils, we're just consulted on what we think. Hopefully what we think is given some weight by the borough council, which decides on these things. But again, sometimes you wonder whether it, you know, whether it is or not. But I think there's an issue. I thought this when I was on the borough council too, that I think there's a real issue, and I'm certainly not unique in saying this. It's said by councillors the whole time that you know, we're consulted at borough level. We get to make a decision, and yet so often those decisions are overturned by planning inspectors, you know, in Whitehall or whatever it is. And you know, who knows our communities best? Someone sitting in an office somewhere many miles away from where our communities are, or those of us that are in our communities and the people that who get to hear from the people that we represent who live in these places. And I do think there's a real issue that the government haven't yet addressed in trying, you know, I think they need to make a decision. Either they want things decided absolute centrally. I mean, I think they don't say that because they know the uproar that it caused, but either they want that and they need to argue that case, or they are prepared to trust local communities to know our areas best, to know what suits our areas. Now, of course, there's an issue of kind of NIMBYism. You know, we support development, just not this one. And then another one comes along, we support development, just not this one. Yeah, I accept that is an issue. And, and I do think we as local communities need to face the fact that, yes, developments need to be right and they need to be right for our areas and they need to deliver the infrastructure and all the rest of that. But we need to be prepared to say that people need houses and people need affordable housing. And that will mean new developments. And yes, I'm going to say it, it may even mean some new developments on Greenbelt land. And I think we just need to kind of face that reality. But so I think there's give and take on both sides, from central government and local government. I'd like to see parish councils and town councils given more say, actually, on planning. Something put in there in a statutory basis to say that what we say really does need to carry some weight with the deciding authority. So I would like to see that. But, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, more powers for parish councils generally. But whether we're going to get it, I'm sceptical about.
In terms of borough councils, I'd like to turn to them now. For someone who has never been to a borough council meeting, can you just give us sort of like an idea as to what it's like and the difference there is between a borough council meeting and the way that a borough council works and a parish council?
Well, I mean, I certainly think, I mean, as I say, you know, occasionally at parish level, it can get party political, but actually not that often in my experience. At borough council level, which, as I say, is, you know, considered a principal authority, and almost everyone elected is elected on a party ticket, back to everyone in my case, on the positive borough council. It is much more political. Now, again, you might say, should that be the case? My personal view is actually is that having a thriving democracy locally is important, and that means the battle of ideas, and that means different political parties with different ideologies and ways of doing things. And I have no problem with that. And, you know, I was famous during my 4 years on the borough council for not being afraid of giving a bit of stick and a bit of needle to the Tory opposition. It was a Lib Dem council at the time, and he's back as a Lib Dem council now. And I had no problem in kind of being political in that way, and I know some people don't like that, but I think that's part of a driving democracy. So it's much more political at borough level than at parish level, and also, you know, you're dealing with things like licensing. So I was vice chair of licensing during my time on the borough council, which was really, really interesting. So I sat in a quasi judicial capacity when I was on a panel deciding some of the licensing issues with taxis and pubs and all the rest of it. So I really enjoyed doing that. And you're talking about a larger, you know, a much larger amount of money that you are ultimately in charge of if you're part of the administration. I was in administration at Bencher, and we got to, you know, I was proud to vote for a whole host of things in Hinckley and Bosworth during that time, which have improved the lives for people here. So a new cinema, a new leisure centre, a new shopping complex that really transformed Hinckley Town Centre. And, you know, I was really pleased to be, albeit from the back benches, to be able to vote for that and help deliver that. And so, you know, I think both absolutely have their place. I mean, one thing that concerns me, and there's an effort by the Tory-run County Council here in Leicestershire to be rid of borough and district councils and to have a unitary authority. I don't support that. I don't think it's good for democracy. I don't think it's good in terms of that level of politics being local to where people are, and people, you know, even if they don't know who their councillor is, that they can easily find out and get in contact with that person because that person lives in their community. However, you know, if it's, you know, if in the end it is forced on us here in Leicestershire and we do go to unitary authority status, I think one part of that would have to be more powers for parish and town councils, because I think we'd be even more important then as absolutely the most local form of government. And I think, you know, we would absolutely need to have more powers on a whole host of things, given that there would no longer be that borough and district tier. But I absolutely hope that that doesn't happen. I think that tier remaining is important.
Mm. Now, what would you say in terms of the quality, perhaps, of decision-making between unitary authorities and boroughs? Would you say that because there isn't that sort of like extra level of decision-making or perhaps greater conversation between different levels of councils, that unitary authorities perhaps don't necessarily make the best decisions as opposed to the system involving borough councils and parish councils? Or do you think that it's perhaps a bit of a false comparison? What do you think?
I think that they're just that far more removed. I mean, if you ask people today, and yeah, you may say people don't know who their parish and borough councillors are, and I'm sure many don't. But ultimately, you know, parish council, you know, my parish council is, you know, has a very visible office in the middle of my village. You know, people can contact me very, very easily. And yes, you may say there's modern forms of communication that people, you know, the building doesn't have to be in the locality, for example, for a borough council. But I think actually it's important that they are, and that people live in that borough who are councillors and indeed officers of those authorities and are making decisions based on what they know to be the needs of those communities. And I just worry, I mean, I worry about it. County council at the moment, but at least, as I say, there is the borough level still. But if that went, I'd just worry that decisions would be being taken that have no bearing on what the reality is in a local area. And I think that would lead to wrong decisions being made. And I think there's an issue here for democracy. I mean, you know, the fact is that thinking of Leicestershire specifically here, but it's the same for many other counties too, that, you know, at district level, we do, you know, Leicester City is Labour-dominated. Most of the county of Leicestershire is Tory-dominated. But there are two Lib Dem councils, one here in Hinckley and Bosworth and one in Oby and Wigston. And I think it's having the ability to elect an authority that isn't just the Labour-Tory binary is important. And I think if that level of government went, I think we would just be left with you know, a permanent Leicester City Council that's one party rule Labour, you know, and pretty much the same for the unitary, one party rule Conservatives. And actually, I just don't think that's good for our democracy. I think having a multi-party democracy is important. Now, you may say, well, you would say that you're a Liberal Democrat. Well, yeah, absolutely. That, you know, that's true. But I think if people looked at it rationally and independently, they think it's not just good to have the two large parties dominating. But the borough and district level, the fact that you can have, you know, a Lib Dem council or you can have a rainbow coalition, as we're seeing in some places now where the Greens are involved with the Lib Dems and Labour and others, you know, this is important for our democracy. And I think we lose that at our peril, really.
One of the things that, of course, has been talked about a great deal over the past few years has been greater devolution for England and the possibility of an English Parliament. If an English Parliament were ever to come into being, how do you think it would interact with the different council systems? And do you think it would end up taking powers and emphasis away from the different types of councils that exist throughout England at the moment?
I think an English Parliament is an interesting idea. I mean, I do think that, I mean, you know, there's an argument that actually England dominates the UK Parliament, and so why do we need a separate Parliament just to be able to say we've got a separate English Parliament? And I have quite a lot of sympathy with that idea. But equally, I think, you know, is the English political settlement where it should be? No, it probably isn't. I think we're getting there with kind of metro mayors. And again, I know the debate in the Lib Dems about whether they're a good thing or not. I think I probably think they are. I think we've seen with Ben Houchen in the Tees Valley and Andy Burnham in Greater Manchester, that actually having a kind of spokesperson for those regions has brought extra funding for those regions, which, for example, we in the East Midlands, because we don't have such a thing, haven't had. And in fact, here in Leicestershire, despite having almost all Tory MPs, certainly in the county, you know, we are one of the worst, the least funded counties in England in terms of education and lots of other things. So actually, you know, I'd argue that, and we do argue in our leaflets, that having Tory MPs has done us no good whatsoever here. But I think, you know, having that kind of spokesperson for a region, for a city and surrounding areas, and maybe a host of cities, is important. And I know there's interesting discussions at the moment about an East Midlands combined authority. Again, we'd have to look at the detail of that. But I think devolution to England is absolutely necessary, but it must be levelled up, you know. I was representing the parish council at an online APPG recently, or party parliamentary group, looking at levelling up and the role of parish and town councils. And I said in that it needs to be more than just a slogan, which is all I think it is at the moment. I don't think local communities are really trusted to have the powers and to know where money should be spent. And I think central government, not just under this government, but under the coalition, and indeed under the Blair years too, that you know, prime ministers talk the language of devolution and of levelling up, but don't actually then follow through with what is needed. And to be frank with you, I have very little faith that the Boris Johnson government will do that.
We're coming towards the end of the podcast. It's been wonderful speaking to you, Matthew. And I have one final question. We've not really touched upon it at all. I don't think we've mentioned it, in fact. But of course, coronavirus has affected all of our lives. And thanks to the vaccination programme, things seem to be getting somewhat better at the moment, though we're not fully back to normal. Hopefully we are on the road back to some form of normality. When things do get back to normal, back to how they were prior to the pandemic, what one thing that you haven't been able to do because of the pandemic are you most looking forward to being able to do again?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it could just be very nice to see friends again that I've only been able to, you know, communicate with online. And, you know, online is great, and we all spend so much of our lives online. And, you know, the internet is an absolutely wonderful thing that connects us all. But I think there's something about actual being in the same room as somebody and, you know, being able to hug somebody or being able to shake hands or whatever. I think kind of that human touch is important. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing friends and family that I've not seen in quite a while. I'm really chuffed to be going back to the cinema. I love going to the cinema. I go most weekends, sometimes on a Saturday and a Sunday, because I've got a good old unlimited card for a certain cinema that won't mention the name of. but I really love going to the cinema, and so I'm pleased to be back doing that. And I'm very much looking forward to. I'm actually going to be moving soon into a new flat, and I'm looking forward to that as well. So I think, you know, I think people have had a really tough time over the past couple of years, and actually being able to be social again, albeit, you know, in a COVID compliant and safe way, is going to be really, really important for people's general mental health and well-being. So, you know, the sooner that can happen more fully, the better.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that you'll be able to move into the flat soon and be able to go back to the cinema as well very soon, Matthew. If people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
Probably the easiest thing is to go to Twitter, and I'm at Matthew Hulbert, one T in the Matthew, and then Hulbert is H-U-L-B-E-R-T. So yeah, at Hulbert Matthew, and they can find my website from there and all my general witterings and meanderings on there.
Fantastic. Thank you once again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you've enjoyed it, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbeam, and Amazon Music. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Debated Podcast, like us on Facebook, Debated Podcast, and if you'd like to get in touch with us, whether about appearing on an episode of the podcast, or commenting on an episode that you've listened to, you can do so at thedebatedpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you listen to the next one.